That ball hit deep. Way back. Wells at the ball. Looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Who wants to bunt?
It's time.
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
Mercy. Mercy.
In the entertainment capital of the world.
That ball hit high and deep at the wall. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
It's the TC Martin Show.
Yes. 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 History.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, TC Martin.
Call your sons, call your daughters, call your friends, call your neighbors.
The doctor is now in.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very busy Wednesday, middle of the work week, proverbial hump day, Major League Baseball, trade deadline. It came, it went, and a lot of sterling activity just happened hours before, minutes before. We will break it all down for you, give you the latest on who is changing teams with our good friend, the veteran Steve Sachs, does a fantastic job with MLB Network Radio, and of course, the former World Series champion and all-star, former Dodger, Yankee, White Sox for a while, if you like that as well, too. And, of course, as Chris Chapman is going to jump in and say, I know what you're going to say. All that stuff is fine. However,
Hall of Famer because of the greatest TV show in television history, The Simpsons.
There you go.
And a big fan of the two-bar tapes, which most people don't know about, but you, me, and Steve, we've talked about that before, and He remembered. He told the story about the two bar, and the rumor was he had T-shirts made. He didn't remember that part, but we did shed a little light on the fact that Steve Sachs does, in fact, know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you are so thrilled to have Sachs on when I have him on just because of the baseball talk, but I think you're more enthralled with the nonsense involved outside of, like, The Simpsons and the two bar. And
well,
since you do wear, you know, I mean, junior high school,
yes,
T-shirts all the time.
For those wondering what I'm wearing a Reptar on Ice T-shirt. Of course, Reptar, the famous cartoon from the Rugrats cartoon when from my younger years. And, you know, we probably have some younger listeners who are aware of what Reptar is and Reptar on Ice. But it was a big deal in the Rugrats.
You know, there was a lot of talk here about getting cameras in our studio so
yes,
people could actually see. And I think of all the shows, we need cameras in here because we talk about this type of thing with you and how you talk about how I dress and this and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you better start working on that.
Well, like, you dress like you're going to the gym.
Yeah.
Me, I dress like I'm still in high school.
Wait, I'm not going to the gym. I don't sit there and wear little gym shorts
on,
and stinky socks.
Come on,
look at this, man.
You have, like,
I got my $150 Air Jordans on. I mean,
okay,
I'm dressed to impress.
So,
what are you talking about?
You've got Jordans on. Normally, you have sweatpants on. Today, you're wearing cargo shorts, but you've got the dry fit Nike shirt.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
it's not a cheap shirt, my friend.
I'm not saying it is. Yeah. You know, maybe you could go hit the links or
that's true.
You know, speaking of the links, we're August 10th, right, at Revere Golf Course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With some amazing talent out there.
Yeah,
as we have every year out there.
You
well,
and
too.
Me, but we weren't talking about that type of talent.
No, we weren't. We were talking about some other female talent that's usually out there. Then I'm not sure if that's actually talent or
no. That qualifies as talent.
It does. Okay.
Wait, the missus isn't listening, is she?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, speaking of the misses, Ace's big win last night.
Yes.
I joke with Kayla McBride a lot,
yes,
about the cupcakes because she still has not delivered.
I know.
On the cupcakes, right? And we want to do the contest between Kayla's cupcakes and Mrs. TC's pineapple upside down cake, which, by the way, I all joking aside, I am a big fan of.
I know.
I remember you told me. You were like, look, just try it. I was like, okay, I like pineapple. I'll try it. It was delicious.
The funny thing is, I brought that thing way back when to whatever we had potluck
or whatever
it is, and everybody looked at it, but no one was going to dive in. And you were the guinea pig, and you
yes,
dove in. And the moment you dove in,
it was gone.
It was gone.
Yeah, because everyone trusts me because they know that I am among any things or above everything. I don't even know what I'm saying,
yeah,
but I am the Lotus Broadcasting food aficionado.
Oh,
so.
Geez.
And that leads me to Jisoo Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
And we're going to talk about Jisoo Park and your Korean food escapades, or you want to have escapades. Yeah, you want me to bring Jisoo Park into the show just so you can possibly have a Korean dish.
Yes.
Is that the deal?
I propose, and I know...
That's why we get along. We think along the same lines.
Our guy Jiggy is probably listening.
Yeah.
And maybe they're on their way to the airport to head to L.A. right now. Maybe they're all listening, but maybe they have it on the team bus. But, yeah, we want to do have Jisoo bring in some Korean food. I want to see you eat the Korean food.
Back to K-Mac and the baker. And like we've talked about many times before with her, she wants to open... like a bake shop here in town. And she's very close to doing that. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not. Very close. And already got kind of location picked out and everything.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about it. She goes, man, I'm sorry. I got to bring you those, you know, the cookies, the pineapple cookies, whatever this, that. So, yes, that conversation is free-flowing. It is going to happen. And maybe you and I are going to tag team her next time, game or next practice. And we'll say, listen, that's it. You got to bring these things in.
Yeah, you have an expiration date on those cupcakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think next time you bring in studio, you got to remind her. Look, if you're coming in,
it's done.
It's done. Done
it's
deal.
A done, done, yeah. done deal. Major League Baseball trade deadline. Like we said, it's expired at 1 o'clock or so. So we're going to run down all the deals for you. We will be talking to Steve Sachs, get his feedback about it. Matthew Holt as well will join us a little bit later on. Plus, we'll talk to Matt regarding sports gaming here in Las Vegas and also an effect of Major League Baseball futures as well, too. So always great. And as we approach football season, of course, you know what that means. More Matt Holt, more Scott Spritzer, and our crew coming up here as well. So looking forward to that as the calendar gets ready to hit August right here.
When we start bringing Spritzer on, because I know how he did in our football contest.
Yes.
I need to start paying attention more to what he says.
Yes, and our best bets. You should.
Because he crushed us all in the...
Well, the thing about it is, with you, it's very, very easy... Just like Nick Nice, when he was involved in our Best Bet segment every Friday, you got to stay away from the ham and egg conferences. You got to stay away. You guys think that you're being avant-garde and I'm going to go ahead and pick the whack game of the week.
Yes.
Or I'm going to do this goofball first half total.
Listen, you know? Everyone cares about New Mexico State and UTEP. Yeah, that's a big game.
Stay away from the wiki whack in the Mountain West, okay? Well, especially the San Jose States and all that, Colorado State. Stay away from that. Come
look,
on.
Stay away from
the Mickey Mac, too, would you?
It worked the year before.
You and Nick Nice and the Mickey Mac.
But did Nick Nice ever win?
He was competitive.
Yeah, but I won as a rookie.
Well, you were horrible last year.
I was horrible last year. But I won as a rookie. And as horrible as I was close to Benowitz. I wasn't that far behind him.
Who openly admits, NFL, forget about it.
Yeah.
But college, he's pretty good.
He makes a call on the NFL and speaking of, I can't wait to have him on again because he's a very interesting guy.
Of course, of course. And our Winnipeg Jets / Vegas Golden Knight insider as well.
Yes.
Don't forget that. So looking forward to September when that rolls around. All right, Zach Greinke, Arizona Diamondback no more. He is now a member of the Houston Astros. The Astros get stronger today. I'm not sure about this, though. Greinke, do you realize this, that he is going to be involved now? Think about this. Sixth team in 9 seasons.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Talk about a rented player. This guy's a rented player. 35 years old. Been in the league 15 years.
Won the Cy Young with the Kansas City Royals.
Way back, 2010?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Way back when, okay? So he's going to join the rotation of Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. Very nice. They also added Aaron Sanchez from Toronto, who is decent. But here's the thing about Greinke. He signed for 2 more years. Do you know what his contract is per season for the next 2 years? So they don't have to worry about him. So he's not like a rent-a-player there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Verlander. He's going to be there for a couple seasons. Unless they decide to discard him.
Without knowing what he's making, I'm going to guess he's making $30 million over the next 2 years.
Over the next 2 years?
$15 million a season.
$32 million per season.
Per season?
Yes.
Zach Greinke's making $64 million.
Yes.
Over
the next 2 years.
Well, now I know why the Diamondbacks traded him.
Exactly. God, Mary, he's a $130 million man when they signed him.
Wow. I never liked the move to trade Paul Goldschmidt. To me, he's a guy you build a team around. I totally get trading Greinke.
Greinke's 10-4, 2.87. Granted, he's having a very, very good year.
The problem is now you move Robbie Ray up in the rotation. He now becomes your number one guy. I'm not sure he's a number one guy.
Exactly. So the Diamondbacks have mailed it in.
They're pretty much done. Forget them.
You know, and we were, you think about that, and it's like, imagine you're one of these guys, and not necessarily with the D-backs, but you're on a contender, and you get the phone call that, hey, you've been traded, and you're like, all right, well, where am I going? And you find out you're going to a team that's 16 games behind, and believe it or not, they're only a game under 500, but they're 16 games behind the Dodgers.
Right, right. So, not crazy about this move. Never am for teams that acquire Greinke. Really never have. You know, the Brewers did it a while back, and then the Dodgers did it, and okay, fine. But yeah, you know, you look at his ERA, his record, it's very nice. Last couple starts, check it out.
He's not very 30, nice against the Yankees, though.
35 years old, 15 years in the league, 16 in the last 9 seasons, $32 million each year. Good luck with that. Good luck, Houston, okay? And did you really need him? Like I said, the anchor, the two anchors are Cole and Verlander. Greinke, okay. At 32 mil? Come on,
well,
man.
Well, the question is, was that move done to prevent the Yankees from getting him?
I don't know. We're going to get to the Yankees in a bit. Talk about what they did or what they didn't do, actually. Here's the one move that I like today, and it's with the Cubs. Nick Castellanos for the Detroit Tigers. If he's batting 347 against left-handed pitching in 82 plate appearances this year, he's great against lefties. He's a solid outfielder. He gives you plenty. You've heard him be very, very vocal about playing in Comerica Park, the deep part of center field, left center.
And that team is brutal.
They are brutal. And then, of course, Miguel Cabrera hits the homer in Anaheim the other night, and he's jawing with Albert Pujols and then the Angels catcher and everyone else. And people go, well, what is he yelling about? He's going saying, it goes, oh, that'd be an out at Comerica in Detroit. That's an out. That's an out. I don't know if you saw that highlight or not.
Maybe they have to move the walls in a little bit.
Something. But, you know, that park, it's a nice park. But again, who wants to go see baseball there when you hit one 398 feet and it's a routine out?
Yeah. Well, the problem also is that team has only won 31 games.
Yeah. No, they're horrible.
So when you're 31-72, it's probably not just the ballpark.
Right. Castellanos, I like him. I've had him on my fantasy teams. And he's good against right-handed pitching as well, too, but pretty solid against left-handed pitching. So here's the question.
In a smaller park, he should do well.
So here's the deal, Leo. What are the Cubs, how are they going to use him? Because he's very versatile. He can play third base.
I think.
He can play outfield. This is a guy that needs to be in the lineup every day.
Yeah, he's kind of like Brock Holt, right? A guy you could put at a bunch of different positions.
But better than Brock Holt.
But yeah, he was a highly touted guy coming up. I mean, he was like the number one prospect for the Tigers when he made his debut. But I think it's a good move for the Cubs. Look, they're only a game behind the Cardinals, who I will always root against the Cardinals. So they're right there. Maybe it's not a move that helps him win the World Series, but he's probably worth a game or two down the stretch of the season.
I think of all the additions that you look at that happened in the last couple days, this is the addition that really makes a lot of sense. And we can say, hey, the Cubs really improved their team. Getting a hitter like Castellano, and also defensively as well, too. Like I said, you could put him at third, even though you got Brian at third, but they can't make up their mind what they're doing at third. They throw Brian in left field. You should just anchor him in left field or right field. Castellanos, anchor him there and put him in your lineup. And if he struggles against right-handed pitching, okay, fine. Platoon, okay. But for the most part, you're getting a guy that is relatively healthy every year as well, too. So I love that move.
It's a good move for them.
We look at the Braves. They added pitching today, especially on the relieving side.
Yes.
Shane Green, the Tigers. Now, you talk about how bad the Tigers are,
this
right?
Guy's been really good.
22 saves for the Tigers.
Yeah, considering they only have 31 wins.
Right, right. You know what his ERA is?
Was it under 2?
How about this?
1.87?
No, 1.18.
Yeah, it's really good. I knew it was really good.
He led the American League. 1.18 ERA. So he's a good one. Not sure why he's having such a good year. I was never a big fan of him in years
past.
Maybe
it's the big ballpark.
Could be. There you go. Mark Melancon, who obviously was an all-star with the Pirates, was with the Nationals for a while, went to San Francisco, did absolutely nothing. Three-time all-star, not good this year. 3.50 for a reliever, not really impressive.
No.
So, again, I think his better days are gone. He's been moved around a little bit. But, he was a staple there with the Pirates. He was a big-ticket guy. Then the Nats got him to go in their bullpen. When Dusty was there a couple years ago, served his time nicely there. I liked him. And then all of a sudden, you ship him to San Francisco, and he's dead in the water. Nothing happening there. They also added Luke Jackson. Well, I should say Melanson will probably, or Green will replace Luke Jackson as the closer. Luke Jackson was the closer, and here's why they went out and got Shane Green. You know what Jackson's ERA has been since the All-Star break?
Not good.
13.50.
Yikes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in the middle of a pennant race. That is not... I mean, Braves, they lead the division by 6.5, but yeah. You have to wonder how many games would they be ahead if their bullpen wasn't struggling.
Yeah. Two blown saves for Jackson. His last seven appearances hasn't been good, but I think the Braves have cemented themselves not only as the National League's favorite, but they're going to win the division. I thought they'd win the division from the beginning, and seeing what the Nats are, you know, trying to do here. Mike Rizzo saying, "Okay, yeah, we're bolster up our bullpen." Well, look what you did today. If you're the Nats, you added Hunter Strickland, and talk about a guy that was once feared when he's with the Giants. Didn't do much with Seattle this year. They also added Daniel Hudson and Ronis Elias. Also, the Nats
boosting the bullpen.
Yeah, worst bullpen in all of baseball, ERA at right at 6, 5.97, worst bullpen in baseball. Do you know the Nats have had 20 blown saves in the first half of the season?
They'd be a playoff team if not for 20 blown saves.
Yeah, and of course they have Davey Martinez, which will blow you up.
How about him getting
well
tossed the other day? That was something, huh?
It's funny. A good friend of mine loves betting on baseball and usually has the Dodgers usually right on the money, either goes with or against them, knows when to do it. And he went on the Nats the day that Strasburg pitched. I believe it was Sunday. And so he said to me, he goes, "Yeah, before he made the bet, it was like plus 105 getting Strasburg at home against the Dodgers." And he says, "Man, the moment Davey Martinez got ejected, I knew I was gold." And he was.
Yeah.
Because now he goes, "That buffoon can't make any any buffoonery decisions here in the late innings."
Well, it was,
which he does.
Was it what, Eaton that got tossed for walking back to the dugout? I don't know what he said. He said the word, apparently, to get tossed, and then Davey Martinez comes out and he blows a gasket and he gets tossed, and that was good stuff.
Yeah. So crazy stuff there. Speaking of ejections, sure, you saw the brouhaha last night between the Pirates and the Reds.
Yeah, Amir Garrett, who, by the way, is Sierra Vista Las Vegas high school product.
Correct. Finley Prep as well.
Basketball player?
Yeah, he would have played at Finley Prep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew he played baseball at Sierra Vista, but he decided he was going to take on the entire Pirates team. And I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people dislike Yasiel Puig. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he is always willing to stand up for his teammates. I mean, this is a guy who got traded like minutes before the brawl broke out, and he's running in there taking punches and bumping guys and grabbing guys. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, because I know you'll get to that trade, but I'll be honest, I kind of like that move for the Indians.
Yeah, yeah. You look at the Tribe, they go ahead and trade away Trevor Bauer to the Reds. Now, you know, in Bauer, it's funny that a lot of people say, well, yeah, the reason why he got traded because he decided to throw the ball over at, Kauffman Stadium, whatever the heck they're calling it now, threw it in the center field grass.
That was funny.
We've seen that with a couple other pitchers in the past. And we've actually seen Bryce Harper do that as well, too. But, so him, Bauer, and Puig get dealt to the Tribe. And Puig does have 22 homers this year, 61 RBIs, the batting average, you know, .252. But here's one for your boy Puig. Do you know what he's batting here in the last week and a half or so?
400?
Yeah. 91.
Oh.
2 for 22.
Yikes.
He's 2 for his last 22.
Wrong direction.
Yeah, wrong direction, exactly. And here's another guy.
I figured maybe he was building up his resume before the deadline.
And here's another guy. This will be his third team in less than a year.
Yeah, Dodgers, Reds, and now Cleveland.
Yeah.
At least he's only got to move across the state.
Oh, jeez.
From the dumpy part to the nice part.
Jeez.
Wait. Do I have that backwards? I don't know.
The dumpy part? Cincinnati is, that's tough. Because there are parts of Cincinnati that I like, and there's parts of Cleveland that I like that are okay. But for the most part, yeah, you know.
Yeah, poor Ohio. You get stuck with Cleveland, Cincinnati, Youngstown.
I'm sure Sean Porter would tell us there's some nice spots there.
You know what? I take that back because Sean Porter can kick my butt. So,
yeah, you better be careful there,
he's from Akron, though, right?
He's Akron, yeah. But he claims Cleveland because he spent so much time there.
Yeah. But
it's close.
He's from the home of Goodyear Tires. Like, Akron's cool.
There you go. All right, well, we'll talk more Major League Baseball trades. The deadline is passed. There are some teams that definitely improved themselves. We'll see who improved themselves the most. We'll talk to Steve Sachs when we come back. TC Martin Show on Fox.
Fox.
All right, Major League Baseball trade deadline come and gone. Who are the winners? Who are the losers? We'll break it all down for you with our good friend, the All-Star, the World Series champion, and of course does a fantastic job on the MLB Network Radio. We're talking about Steve Sax. Saxy, what's going on, my man?
TC, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. How about you? You going crazy here with this Major League Baseball season here, trade deadline? Everybody wants your opinion, don't they?
Well, I don't know about that. yeah, I was watching everything down to 1 o'clock and then 5 after 1. And then I thought, well, nothing really happened. It was, you know, but, you know, some of the trades go in and then they have to be ratified. And then they come out, you know, 20 minutes later. So I went off to get a sandwich. And on the radio, I hear that Greinke is going to the Astros. Just reminds me of 2017 when Verlander went there. So, I mean, we can talk about, you know, the winners and the losers. I could just wrap it up for you real quick. The winner in this whole deal was Houston. Again, a team that went out and did what they had to do. I don't see anybody coming close to this team right now. Now, a lot can happen between now and postseason. Even the Yankees, as stacked as they are, they cannot, in my estimation, they can't come close to doing anything with the Astros right now.
Yeah, you look at this rotation, especially the top third here with Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander, Greinke now to go with that. I mean, in Houston already, you know, it was pretty solid in the pitching department, and then you look what they got, you know, offensively. I agree with you. I mean, this looks like the Astros' year right now.
Oh, yeah, so it'd be Verlander, Cole, Greinke, Wade Miley, and also, remember, Aaron Sanchez is there as well. He's going to be in the fifth slot. Anybody in that rotation has a chance to shut you down. And, boy, we know what they can do offensively, and look where Jose Altuve has come from the depth of almost being down and out this year. He's hitting 300 again. We knew what was going to happen. He just needed an audience and somebody to pitch to him. And there he is. So this team is going to be strong as ever. It's like an all-star team. I don't see how anybody can contend with the Houston Astros. Right now, I don't even think it's going to be close.
So, Steve, who was the biggest surprise for you? Whether a team that either did something or didn't do anything that you thought maybe a little bit more active than they weren't here come the trade deadline?
What are the New York Yankees doing?
Yeah, that's,
or what are they not doing?
Right.
They had a chance to improve their pitching. They've got guys that are going down. C.C. Sabathia just went down. We know that this team has just been laboring as far as their starters go. You know, Tanaka is always a tenuous situation. You know, Jay Happ has been so-so this year. Paxton's been so-so. This is a team that was in dire need of not one arm. They needed two. And they did nothing. I'm shocked. Remember, this is the same team with this new leadership as far as it goes without George being there. The son, Hal, runs it in a more fiscally responsible way. You know, just shortly, not too long ago, Dallas Keuchel was turned down because he wanted $1.5 million too much. $1.5 million too much for the Yankees is a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
And
correct.
They did nothing then, and they did nothing now. Their fans have got to be furious because this is an offensive juggernaut, and they really did a lot of good things for the bullpen with Ottavino and Britton, and you know, Tommy Canley found his changeup again. This is a really dynamic bullpen. So you got a basically $1 million runway and a 10-cent control tower working for you right now in New York.
And let's don't forget Chapman to close the deal out, who's still very, very effective. Right. But when you look at the starting pitching for the Yankees, the ERA of the starters approaching 5. Unheard of. Like you said, offensive juggernaut still rolling in the AL East, but you have to do something to improve that starting because, Steve, as you know better than anybody, if you got an ERA approaching 5 just after the All-Star break, it's not going to get any better. We got some tired arms there.
Good luck with that. And remember, the deadline now is you don't get a second bite at the apple in August. It's over. You can't do it anymore. You get one shot at it. And, you know, here's a lot of people are talking about, well, you know, the teams have just become so fiscally responsible because of all the number crunching and the sabermetrics and all this stuff. You got to remember, the Houston Astros, there's no more team out there that's more numbers-oriented than the Houston Astros. So I'm not buying that excuse. I just do not get it. I don't get the Dodgers.
Right.
You had a chance to get Felipe Vasquez. You had a chance to get Will Smith. you didn't do anything. I just can't believe they didn't do anything. They had a chance to really, you know, get the team better as far as that goes in a big way. Let's put it that way, and they didn't come close to doing that.
And another team that we haven't talked about, and I feel didn't do anything as well too, and should have done something, the St. Louis Cardinals. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, the Cardinals are depending. They're banking on their pitching, and the fact that Paul Goldschmidt's really starting to run it up now, and the team is definitely playing better. There's no doubt about it. But are they going to really be able to contend with the Dodgers right now? I don't think so, because in the end, the Dodgers have the best three starters in the National League. They've got three number ones with Ryu, Bueller, and Kershaw. And so I think the Dodgers all around are a better team. And you know what? St. Louis really didn't do anything. And so, you know, there's other teams. Milwaukee, they didn't do much.
Added Drew Pomeranz.
Minnesota improved their bullpen a little bit by adding Dyson to the mix. That was a good thing for them. But we knew that they weren't in a market where they could go out and spend a ton. I thought the best fit out there would be a Will Smith and a Madison Bumgarner package deal that could have gone to the Yankees big time. That would have been a perfect suit for them. It would have been great in Minnesota. It would have been great in Atlanta. That's another team. And these teams just sat on their hands. Oh, yeah, there were some things that were done, you know, but nothing in a big way where, you know, a lot of these big guys were going. You know, the Cubs added Castellanos and Kemp. Let's see, the Braves added Green, which was good, and Melanson. Okay, we'll give them that. You know, the Twins added Dyson, as I mentioned. The Nats helped their bullpen a little bit with Hedson, Elias, and Strickland. You know, it's better. It's not really number one guys in the bullpen, but it does give them some depth, and that's what Washington needed. But I'm not seeing the big stunner out there besides Greinke.
You're right. All right. Steve Sachs joined us. MLB Network Radio, of course, the former World Series champion and All-Star joining us. So let's talk a little bit about Bumgarner. You mentioned that in the Giants. Why do you think the Giants were so reluctant to trade him? We've heard this for the last couple months that he could go. Do you think it was because he's so entrenched with that team, or do they really believe, because the way they played the last 30 or 45 days, that they actually have a shot? Why did Bumgarner stay in San Francisco?
Well, I think some of both. You know, I think what the Giants are going to do is they're going to try to raise the glory and just get one last shot at these guys and try to eke it out and get into postseason through the wild card. And you know, they're 2.5 games out of the wild card right now as we sit. But remember, there's about 47 teams in between them. Now, are the Giants really going to be better than Washington, Philadelphia, the Cubs, Milwaukee? I don't think so, but that's the plight they're facing now, and I think they want to give it one last shot and see if they can do it. They've been playing tremendously. They're the hottest team in the National League from where they came from. Nobody gave them an inkling of an opportunity. But here they sit one game over 500 and a 2.5 games out. They've got an opportunity as far as the numbers go, but as far as the number of teams involved, that's going to be really hard for San Francisco to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Phillies here. They were probably a preseason favorite, especially when they got Bryce Harper and, of course, Andrew McCutchen. They add Corey Dickerson today from the Pirates. Mm-hmm. He's batting .315. Remember, a couple years ago, this guy was pretty good with Tampa Bay. Hit 27 homers 2 years ago. But Phillies,
he was an all-star there, and then he got DFA'd, which was crazy.
Right. Exactly. So when you look at
How do you make the all-star team, and then after the season's over, you get DFA'd?
Right.
That is just preposterous.
No, I know. This guy could play, so I think it's a nice addition for Philly. Where do you think Philly is, considering, like I said, they got injuries, McCutchen out, Jay Bruce is out. I know they added Jason Vargas from the Mets for, you know, their pitching staff, whatever. But what about the Phillies? This was supposed to be the National League East team to beat.
Well, you know, look, the Phillies have some shortcomings on their team. Some people are in the camp where they think Bryce Harper is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Other people think he's kind of a one-trick pony. He's going to hit you some home runs. He's not going to hit for average. He only drove in 100 runs one time in his career. You know, he's had a couple of good years as far as the average goes, but for the most part, he's 250 to 260. But you know, that being said, they've had some injuries that have hurt this team. They thought that they fixed the defense, adding Segura. Hoskins goes back to first base. And then Andrew McCutchen was going to play left field. Of course, he's hurt now. So, look, I mean, the Phillies, it's all about the pitching for them. Jake Arrieta has some loose bodies in his elbow. He has been pitching very subpar as far as what we know and what we love about Jake Arrieta. He's injured. He's still out there pitching. He's going to have surgery in the offseason. Smiley had a nice outing last time, but it's really after Nola, you know, what do you got? You got an injured Jake Arrieta. You got Vince Velasquez. You got Smiley. And then, you got a bunch of guys that are on the DL. You know, David Robertson in their bullpen is still there. McCutchen's there. Sir Anthony Dominguez in their bullpen is not available. You got a lot of guys on the DL for this team that probably aren't going to make their way back in any significant way. And so, you know, where does Philly lie? Well, for me and most other teams, it's about the pitching, and I'm not seeing it right now.
All right. Final thing here for you, Steve. Let's talk about two teams, one in each league here, that usually are big-time money spenders. And I want to talk about the Cubs, and I want to talk about the Red Sox. Let's first touch on the Red Sox. This team didn't do anything. Are they totally dead in the water? Is this year over for the Red Sox? Or what is your feeling about this team?
No, I don't think they're dead in the water. I don't. I think they've got a definite opportunity to get in, maybe that second wild card. Who knows? I mean, the Red Sox right now are trying to do, you know, almost the impossible when you figure that, you know, you're nine games off the pace. The Yankees are in between you and Tampa. So I don't think that's a possibility, really. But I think through the wild card, as I said, that they've got an opportunity to do that. But again, in pitching, Chris Sale is not the same. David Price is getting batted around a little bit. Porcello's 50-50. Actually, Eduardo Rodriguez has been pretty good for those guys. They added Andrew Cashner, okay, you know. But I just don't see this team as the same as it was last year. Mookie Betts got off to a bad start. He's obviously doing much better now. I don't know. I just don't see the same mojo with this team as we did last year. Now, because of the availability of guys being hurt and opportunities that's presented, you know, look at a guy like Rafael Devers. He's killing it. He's a star now. Xander Bogaerts is having a big year. You know, but not quite the same for Mookie Betts and the pitching staff. Just kind of, you know, kind of subpar.
2 months from now, where are the Cubs?
The Cubs are going to be in it, I think. The Cubs got a ton of talent. They're going to be right there in the end. I mean, it's going to be a flip a coin. Whoever pitches best the last 3 weeks of the season is going to win the National League Central. Absolutely. That's what the key is. And right now, you got to think that St. Louis has got the leg up. From where they came from, a team with basically no identity. You know, was it pitching and defense? Was it slugging? What was it going to be for St. Louis? I think they've kind of figured it out. They kind of put Tommy Edmond at the top as their leadoff hitter. Okay, that's a nice thing to have a leadoff hitter. A lot of these teams don't have one, such as the Cubs. You know, they have Kyle Schwarber leading off a lot on this team, and that's just, I look at that right off the bat, and I thought, what is going on with this?
Right.
Teams can't find a leadoff guy because they're so home run centric. They can't find a leadoff guy today. But St. Louis has that. Paul Goldschmidt's really swinging the bat well. St. Louis, I think, has the best pitching in the Central. And they're actually the hottest team in the Central right now. That's why I give St. Louis is probably the leg up. But I guarantee you the Cubs will be there in the end. They'll be right there battling where it's basically going to be a flip of the coin.
Yeah, with the Brewers, I mean, they've got plenty of talent, good heart of the order, didn't do much like you mentioned earlier here at the trade deadline, and a team that notably has fallen apart come July and August. What do you think of the Brew Crew?
Well, you know, I love the moxie of the Brew Crew. This is the team that, they always play hard, which is great. You mentioned the top of the order, or the middle of the order, where they got a chance to really hit the ball out of the ballpark and make some things happen there. I like that about this team, but I really like the top of the order when you put Kane and Yelich together. They really right. play well off of one another. They've had other guys try to lead off. It just isn't the same. When Kane leads off, Yelich is second, and then they go from there. I really like the chemistry of the team. I think they're somewhat overstretching, if that's a word. I think they're stretching out Josh Hader a little bit in the bullpen. He's kind of been marginalized by the amount of work that he's doing when he goes to multiple innings. If you keep Josh Hader at one inning at a time, you can use him basically every other day. You know, he's a stud. He can get the job done. But this pitching staff, you know, Corbin Burns is on the DL. Yolish Sachin is on the DL as well. Jimmy Nelson's not coming back. Brandon Woodruff, who was an all-star, he's on the DL. This team is really struggling for their starting rotation. And so we'll see if they can, combat that. But Bullpen is still pretty good, not like last year with the absence of Corey Knebel, but I think the rotation is going to have some challenges this year.
Right.
Offense, I'm not too worried about. It's more about starting rotation and bullpen for them.
Going to be very interesting, especially in the National League. Steve, appreciate the time, knowledge, always great work on MLB Network Radio, and we'll talk to you very, very soon, my friend.
You bet. Thanks, TC. Good speaking with you.
You got it, brother. All right, Steve Sachs, there he is, bringing it. The All-Star, the World Series champion. You can catch him on MLB Network Radio, XM 89. When we come back, Matthew Holt joins us. Talk a little sports, gaming here in Vegas. Also, his thoughts about the trades. And also, Major League betting futures. Busy, busy day. Major League Baseball trade deadline. Who got better today? Who didn't do anything? Talking about it. Appreciate Steve Sachs joining us. And now we transition over to our good friend Matthew Holt, U.S. Integrity. Of course, one of our great featured handicappers here, sports gaming analyst. Matt, what's happening, partner?
Hey, TC, how we doing?
We're good, man. We're good. So I know how closely you've been following the trade deadline and everything. Who do you think got better today? Is it just the obvious? Is it the Astros?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the Astros is the obvious choice because that starting rotation not only has more talent than anybody in the American League right now, but also has depth. Aaron Sanchez will allow, you know, some of those guys to get some rest and eat a few less innings up as we get through the rest of the regular season. But what I thought was really interesting is just moments after the Atlanta Braves blew yet another two-run lead in the ninth today, we hear that they assigned Shane Green, and that may have been the most important acquisition today, is that's a team that lineup's been good all year long. Now you add Adam Duvall and the power surge that he's shown since he came back from AAA, and all of a sudden there are no question marks really in that Braves lineup. I think it's been the relief staff all year that's been the biggest question mark. They go ahead, get Melanson and Shane Green today really to shore up that bullpen. Maybe they were the big winner.
Yeah, because Luke Jackson has been just horrible for them as a closer, so they improved. And we know they've got the offense, starting pitching pretty good as well, too. Braves definitely seem to be the class of the NL East here. So we talk about the Yankees not doing much here today. The Red Sox didn't do anything. Cardinals, Cubs make one move. And it's a move that I actually think is pretty good. But other than that, Greinke was the major news today.
Yeah, and it's interesting if you look at the betting futures market, it really reflects the teams that did nothing, like the Yankees and the Red Sox. You saw their odds really go way up. The Red Sox right now at one of the more prominent sports books here in Las Vegas are 30-1 right now to win the World Series. That's the defending World Series champs, who are right in the thick of a wild card race at 30-1, and just this morning they were 25-1. Just 2 days ago, after taking 3 out of 4 from the Yankees, they were 20-1. So they've gone from 20-1 to 31 in essentially 3 days, and it just has to do with the fact that a lot of people perceive that they didn't get any better here at the trade deadline. The Astros, on the other hand, an overwhelming 2-1 favorite. Some places in town, even less than 2-1 on the Astros at this point. A lot of effect on the wagering market today. Now we have two overwhelming favorites in the Astros and Dodgers at 2-1 and 3-1, and some really possible value teams at 30-1. I'll be honest, there's some appeal on the Boston Red Sox, 22-1 on the Cleveland Indians, another team who a lot of people think didn't really get better at the deadline, trading away a key starter in order to get a couple of outfielders, 22-1. So it's interesting, you know, how today's deadline, even though there wasn't a ton of huge moves, really had a big effect on the wagering market.
Right. You look at a team like the Minnesota Twins. They're leading the AL Central. This team is pretty rock solid. They didn't do anything. I think sometimes we get all swept up with teams that are making moves here at the deadline, this and that, and we look at teams that are just standing pat. They don't want to mess with their chemistry. They feel they're pretty good, and I think the Twins fit into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if you think that anybody in the playoffs can beat the Houston Astros, you can get an amazing price now in the American League. Twins, 18-1. Indians, we talked about, 22-1. Red Sox, 30-1. Oakland Athletics, 45-1, if you think that they can make a run out of the wild card spot. So look, the Astros are loaded. There's no doubt about that. But we've seen there's a lot of baseball left to play here, and they could only be an injury or two away from being on par with some of these teams. And we know in baseball, in a seven-game series, anything can happen. This isn't NBA where most of the time the favored teams win. Baseball is kind of like hockey in terms of playoffs, where it's a lot more unpredictable than the basketball playoffs are. Just getting there, and you got a shot. So I think there could be some value here for the AL teams.
Matthew Holt joined us. His company, U.S. Integrity, of course, our featured sports gaming analyst, handicapper. Matt, let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about our city here in Las Vegas and the gaming aspect, the sports gaming aspect. You know, it is become so acceptable with this now, with the pro leagues. You know, the WNBA coming here, still talk about the NBA wanting to come here, hosting the WNBA All-Star game last week. And now, even with, you know, talk about having maybe a potential college playoff thing here. Why is the trend finally turned where it's now acceptable here, not only just from a betting standpoint, but now just hosting these big events here at the college and pro level?
Well, obviously, the legalization of sports betting across America, we now have 10 states accepting wagers right now. It'll be 16 or 17 by the end of 2019. So, I mean, that has a lot to do with it, the whole narrative behind sports betting coming out of the shadows, coming out of the alleyways and into the mainstream. That has a ton to do with it. But it's also the history of success in Nevada in hosting these major events. The Pac-12, the Mountain West, the Western Athletic Conference have hosted their college basketball season-ending tournaments here, conference tournaments, for years and years. The Pac-12 has their tournament down at T-Mobile, and there's never been an issue. Coming from a company like U.S. Integrity who works with those leagues, you know, Pac-12 is a client of ours. I can tell you they've never had an integrity issue with the tournament. I mean, we have the West Coast Conference tournament here with Gonzaga, and we've held some really elite-level events here. Now we have a hockey team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals, four conference tournaments. So I think it's part of it is the history of success and that we've already proven we can handle it here in Nevada. And that's why people are continuing to flock here when they want to hold big events.
And we have new properties that continue to come up here. You know, we're talking casinos and also sports books. And then we're going to have a major sports book entity join us next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Derek Stevens, who's already so renowned and beloved in Las Vegas for, you know, getting all that credit that he rightly deserves for the rejuvenation of the downtown and everything that he's done with the D and Golden Gate. When they open Circa in 2020, it's not just going to be the jewel of the downtown in terms of a casino. It's going to be the largest and greatest sports book in the entire world. I mean, I've seen some of the renderings for that. Kudos to Derek and Mike Palm and the guys down at the D for everything they've done for the downtown. And when Circa launches in 2020, that's going to be the premier sports book in the country.
Yeah, you're right. Circa's going to be fantastic. And talking about all the other amenities, besides just being the biggest sports book, they're going to have, what, a half a dozen pools and all kinds of other stuff going on there as well, too, right, with food eateries and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And look, for everyone who's been down to the South Point and seen that beautiful VSIN studio that they have down there, all built in glass, and that's kind of the next wave of studios. On a casino floor where the consumer and the customer can engage with the people while they're on the air. If you think that one's nice, wait till you see the one they're building at Circa.
And Derek is so involved, too, and we had him on the show here before, you know, when he's betting the college basketball and betting Michigan and everything. And so it's nice when you have an owner or proprietor who has that passion for sports and is going to put his money right behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we have the best casino owners in the world here in Las Vegas. You look at the properties we have with the MGM properties and the Caesars Harris properties and what Derek Stevens is doing downtown. You know, I saw some interesting postings on LinkedIn the other day from my good friend Wayne Kimmel from 76 Capital about, you know, Nevada is still the gold standard when it comes to sports betting and gaming, and I think that that really holds true right now. And that's why we're seeing so many major professional and collegiate leagues come here to host their events, to see how it's done, and looking at Nevada still as sort of the crown jewel of the legalized sports betting landscape.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it, as always, my friend. Ready for a little football season. Get ready for our best bets, my friend. And I told Magnum, I said, you guys got to stay away from those smaller conferences or whatever, man. I don't want to be seeing any first half totals in our best bets this time, okay?
You got it.
Take care, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, TC. Take care, my friend.
There it is. Matthew Holt, U.S. Integrity, of course, one of our featured handicappers, participates in our Friday show, the best bet segments. And you love it when I just start ripping you.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'd like it more, though, if when you ripped me, you rewarded me by bringing me some Korean food.
Oh, that's not my genre, but I will hook it up.
We got to make it happen. We may need the translator or the assistant coach. But
and you know I've been very gracious with you and food.
Oh, yes, so, absolutely.
So there we go.
Yeah, I don't ever go hungry.
All right. Want to thank Matt for joining us. Also, Steve Sachs, the World Series champ, the All-Star, for joining us as well, too. Tomorrow, right back at the Big 7-footer. We say happy birthday to the Big 7-footer, Big Bill Cartwright, tomorrow. So we'll have some fun with that. Looking forward to it. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go. Go to the website, tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy. We'll catch you mañana, 3 o'clock, tomorrow, right here, Fox Sports Radio.